Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor podcast. I'm Dr. Taves, joined by Dr. Storzbach, and today we are going to talk all about posture. And this is something that impacts literally everyone. If you have a spine with shoulders and a head, then you are going to need to consider your posture throughout life. But in particular, this is something that can have a negative or a positive effect on people that struggle with headaches and migraines. And so we want to dive into posture, how to understand what good posture is, the implications of good posture, the implications of bad posture. And then we're going to end with some tips on how to improve your posture, things to think about that most people don't necessarily think about on a daily basis. So first off, let's talk kind of in the nitty-gritty of what it looks like to have a normal posture, what's a deviation from normal posture. Maybe let's start with like what we're looking at in shoulders or the upper back when we interact with the patient. What are some things that pop out to us when we're evaluating someone?
Yeah, so posture, I think this is such a good topic because a lot of people think posture is just kind of like that straight military posture. And I would agree to a certain extent. We can talk about the plumb line of the body, that if someone were to stand up and you look at them from the side, you should see ear resting ideally over the shoulder, shoulder over the hip, hip over knee, knee over ankle, right? And we should see a slight curve in the neck, like a mild 30 degree curve, and kind of a mild 30 degree reversal of that curve, kind of that hump in our mid back. And so those are things we definitely want to look at. But I always caution people, because just about everyone comes in and says, I have terrible posture. And I mean, in a way, we all feel like that, right? Because in our modern society, we're forward, we're on our phones, we're on our computers, we're constantly, just our eyes are forward. So our head shifts forward. And people just are really concerned about that. And I always tell people posture is also very dynamic. Yes, we want the normal curves. We want a nice plumb line ideally. But we also just want function. So what I teach people is we just need to learn how to reverse patterns that you're probably a little bit stuck in and are not taking even just a few minutes a day to reverse. So for example, that forward head position, we really want to teach you how to reverse that throughout the day and make sure you don't get stuck going one way. Because that going forward in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's when you can't go the other direction or start getting stuck is when problems arise.
Yeah, I love that. It's the posture, the next posture is the best posture, yeah, right?
Right.
So even with good posture, even with if you've been in the military and you've been trained to stand up straight and you can't even like think of a different posture because you've just been stuck in that way of standing, you can still find a lot of issues with just a static position. Mm-hmm. And so we are the movement experts. We love movement. And so that's kind of the first principle or one of the main principles is that the next posture is the best posture. So movement's always better than a static position. And it's funny, yeah, just even thinking back on like physical therapy school and the we had a competition to see who was the posture king and the posture queen. And so we went through a course on like, you know, here's what we're looking for with posture. And I actually won the posture king. Yeah, I think
very
I've
nice.
Deviated from that as I, you know, work on people with headaches, and I'm sitting and I'm slouching and my shoulders are forward and my head is forward. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that come to see us have desk jobs. Mm-hmm. They have a relatively sedentary lifestyle, and so what sort of impact does that play into if we're gonna sort of connect this to maybe shoulder issues or neck issues, and then we can get to headaches and migraines.
So, you know, that sitting position at the computer is just kind of universal now. And what that'll do is just kind of pull our shoulders forward. And at times, you know, people will have that more rounded back. They'll tighten through their chest wall, those pec muscles. And then they'll also actually to start to tighten in their lats. It's one shoulder muscle I don't think it's talked about enough that implicates into the shoulder and neck quite a bit. And that lat muscle runs from like the underside of your arm, like close to your armpit, down towards all the way down your back into your pelvis. And sitting, we're actually kind of just down and in all day long, which is what that muscle helps us do. And we don't reverse it very often. And so what that muscle will do is pull us down and in forward. And then all of a sudden we have the opposing muscles above it. So think above your shoulder, kind of upper trap area coming out from your neck. Those two muscles are a little bit like in a tug of war. And that big lat muscle is bigger, and we tend to just kind of sit more positionally to shorten that. And it tends to be kind of losing that war a bit, or that balance. And so a lot of times people say, oh, I actually just want to rub this knot right on the top of my shoulder, base of my neck. That's where my headaches are. And I would argue absolutely that can be a trigger point, that can be painful and even radiate into the head, cause neck tension. But if we don't address the opposing muscles and learn how to, again, reverse that posture, that's when people just can kind of get into these cycles. Like, I'm really trying to address this one thing where I feel pain, but they're not looking at the big picture. And I think that as physical therapists, we do a really good job of that, of kind of looking at the whole body, making sure we're not missing a piece.
Right. Yeah. So when we think of posture, it's not just the upper traps,
right,
that are the problem. And so what are some other muscles? Because this could get interesting without being too like scientific about it, but what are some other muscles? What are the main muscles that we hit when we're trying to address posture?
Right. So we definitely want to hit the upper traps, like we just talked about, the levator scapula, which runs from our shoulder blade up into our neck. We want to hit scalenes, which are on the side of our neck that can feed up into head pain. But honestly, when I'm looking at just posture as a whole, like the person from head to foot, what I'm also looking at is like their core control. You know, how well can they actually shift their weight and control their torso? And then like kind of that mid back again, because we tend to be so rounded forward, we kind of neglect our upper back. That can get really weakened. And those are also big postural muscles that we need to learn how to exercise well and just move with during the day and kind of not neglect them.
Yeah. And occasionally Dr. Storzbach will work on me and my pecs. So my chest muscles, my pec major, pec minor, have these knots in them that are just like terrible. And it's purely because everything I'm doing is forward and I'm using those muscles constantly, which is fine. I mean, we're meant to use muscle groups, but having the opposing muscle groups then kick in, or having an opposite movement throughout the day, or a lack of that opposite movement, is where we run into issues, because we're so dominant with one specific movement over and over again that we develop these terrible trigger points, and that even with a little bit of pressure on them, it feels like we're like driving a knife into someone's muscle, which it's really just a little bit of pressure, but it just shows how irritated that muscle is. Now, Dr. Storzbach, you have a background in what's called postural restoration, and it's really it gets into the very, very nitty gritty of posture, but I've scratched the surface of it. But what I understand is that there are certain patterns that people follow. Let's talk about patterns, and what are some of the patterns that people see in addition to just like rounded shoulders?
Yeah. So the underlying philosophy of postural restoration is actually that we are all asymmetrical and we're born that way, and that's a good thing. It's by design. We should not try to achieve perfect symmetry, but we do want to achieve balance. And again, like I talked about, being able to kind of alternate from side to side, or reciprocate from side to side more evenly throughout the day, and versus getting stuck into one pattern. So if we look at just every human being has a diaphragm breathing muscle underneath our rib cage, and all of ours are a little bit asymmetrical. Again, that is because of our organs inside. That is because of how our vessels run. There's lots of reasons for that. But what will happen then is that it's a muscle, and we breathe like 22,000 times a day on average or something. So that's a lot of repetition. There's an asymmetry right in the center of our body, which makes it our abs a little bit different side to side. And again, our rib cage, and you can imagine that then plays into our shoulder. So what we commonly see is like a right side shoulder drop. And that's not just because of handedness. That's because of this diaphragm rib cage position. And then what we'll also see is a lot of people like tend to choose a leg they like to stand on. So if you just think about like you're standing talking to a group of friends, you know, on a Friday night, holding a drink, whatever, just take note of like, how am I standing? You might notice you've kind of shifted to a foot, and you maybe popped a hip out, and there'll be one side you favor. And just about everyone has this. And primarily we see right-sided. Now, if you're that left-sided person out there and we're not leaving you out, you've just learned to compensate a different way. And you'd have to come in to see me to really get into that. But we really see this right-sided pattern. And even people will turn their head slightly a certain way. They'll be more comfortable shifting to the right. But when they even just are walking or have to shift more to their left, they have a harder time and they learn how to compensate. And then we can kind of get these little twists and torsions in the body. And that works from head to foot. And then we repeat by breathing and walking all day long. And unless we learn how to balance that, that's when people can get into trouble. So hopefully that wasn't too wordy, but that's kind of like the big picture of PRI.
Yeah. I love it. And it was kind of mind-blowing for me to think about posture from like a diaphragm perspective. Mm-hmm. And even our internal organs are not, you know, we're not symmetrical mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And so to think that if we look at an x-ray and assume that everything should look exactly the same on the right side compared to the left, that maybe that's not what we should be assuming. Maybe that's not the gold standard. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about, oftentimes people come in and they will say, I have been diagnosed with scoliosis, yeah. or maybe I've been to a chiropractor who said my alignment's off. Mm-hmm. How as physical therapists do we view that? Is that important information? How does that impact the neck and headaches? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so scoliosis is a common diagnosis, and there's very varying degrees of that. It can be very mild, and a lot of people have very mild, and they'll have been told they have scoliosis, but it's extremely mild. And I would argue that PRI would explain that, and actually that's why we see the same right rib hump for scoliosis kind of over and over and over again. But as a PT, of course we want to look at their alignment, but I want to look at just how they move. So like, why are they choosing this pattern? Can I teach them a way to kind of oppose that pattern? And even if we don't get them back into quote unquote perfect alignment of the spine, they can still be completely functional and pain free. So that's as far as scoliosis. And then as far as the like x-rays go, you know, we do not take x-rays here. I believe that we can feel with our hands what is going on, and we can watch someone move and kind of see what they're doing. Whereas an x-ray is static. It'll just show you just a still image, of the bones. And sometimes that can be helpful, especially if there's a true big derangement or a fracture after a car accident. Those things need to be, that's when x-rays come in real handy. But other than that, as PTs, again, we're not as focused on that because it's not going to change our treatment. So that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. So functional and pain-free. I like that you said that, because that's our focus, functional and pain-free. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is a danger to, I guess, over-diagnosing or maybe letting the patient, and this is a danger of x-rays, is you bring the patient into a reality that may not actually be impacting them on a day-to-day life. Meaning, if you diagnose them via an x-ray and you see these slight variations in the curvature of their spine, that those don't necessarily mean that the patient has to be in pain. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you tell them that, that's what they associate it with, mm-hmm. unless you're very careful with that process. But oftentimes it's almost used as a scare tactic to say, well, look at how bad your posture is. Yeah. Look at how misaligned these things are. And there's no way you can be out of pain until this is fixed. And on the other end of the spectrum, I have a good friend who went into a chiropractor, and by no means am I saying that all of chiropractic is like this, because it's not. And I have my issues with PT as well, mm-hmm. but went into a chiropractor and he's healthy. He has no pain, no symptoms. He's functional. He's active. And the chiropractor took an x-ray and basically said that he would have debilitating back pain in however many years. I think he may have said that he might be paralyzed or lose function of his legs. Like something as dramatic as that to scare him into going through his process. Mm. And that's an extreme example. But one of the things that we focus on is really that empowerment perspective. And as you look at what really matters, the imaging has value in some respects, mm-hmm. but it's how we move that functional and pain-free mm-hmm. that I think is huge. That, you know, everyone with scoliosis, if they all had migraines or if they all had headaches, that'd be something where we'd say, hey, we really got to get this 100%. But there's a lot of people with scoliosis that have no issue. You know, they're fine. Mm-hmm. I would even venture to say that there are many high-level athletes that have sort of crazy curvatures to their spine. Mm-hmm. And so understanding what the gold standard is really important, or what functional looks like and what pain-free looks like. And then another takeaway is, you know, that's different for everyone. And so even what we do in the clinic, we kind of have to start from an objective, like we want to get your neck to move 45 degrees and 10 degrees. But in reality, a lot of people are, the start line might be 0 degrees. The finish line might be 20 degrees for one patient and 35 degrees for another patient. But as long as they're pain-free and able to manage it and they're functional, that's what matters. And so we start out with these objective things to show them where the problem is, but then we try to move away from them to some extent to allow the patient to feel empowered and not just think of themselves as like an injured person. Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah, as physical therapists, I think that's one of the best things our profession is trained to do, is sort of look at that functional and pain-free as sort of the outcome that we're pursuing. So let's talk about some things that people can do practically at home to help with mm-hmm. their posture. And I think PRI does a good job of like shedding light on some of this stuff mm-hmm. that people don't think about. But let's talk about, you know, daily habits and maybe some things people can change.
Absolutely. I actually want to start with driving, because I guess with COVID, we actually decreased driving quite a bit, but we're kind of back on the road a lot. A lot of people have a commute, and that's a repeated posture. Again, that we get in our car, you might notice next time you get in your car, you always maybe want to drop your right arm down onto that console, or you always put your left leg out into the door because we don't use clutches anymore generally, and doesn't have a job, so you just kind of hang out, and it kind of twists your body a bit. You might notice you always drive more with one arm than the other. So just kind of take note of these things. Again, in and of themselves, that is not bad. We just want you to be able to be aware of them and reverse that pattern. So I would argue in the car, make sure that you're not leaning onto your console or onto your door one way or the other. And if you do, just make sure you're coming out of it occasionally, or maybe going to the awkward side you don't like it to go to. And definitely that left leg. That's a very common PRI thing. People, again, don't like their left leg as much. And so they'll just kind of let it fly out into the door and hang out. I would say, you know, bring your feet parallel. Now, I know you're doing gas pedal with the right, but parallel with the left, knee straight ahead. You know, you can do that good old 10 to 2 position some of the time, you know, and just kind of reset yourself. When you stop at a red light or a stop sign, sometimes that's a great time to check in and maybe even try imagining kind of like pulling your head up and back a bit, almost trying to touch that headrest with a slight chin tuck. Those little things during the car can be really helpful. So that's one thing I always talk to people about. Another thing is just computer work. I'm sure a lot of people maybe already kind of know the general ergonomics, but it's amazing. You know, we have a ton of teenagers in here, and I ask them how they do their homework, and most of them say on a laptop in their bed. It just makes me cringe a bit because that's the time to hopefully develop some good habits. And a good habit would be, a lot of us have laptops, but maybe getting that Bluetooth keyboard that you can put more at your elbow level, or as your elbows are bent, and so then you can raise your screen up to eye level. That's really important, so you're not tipped down too far, or even tipped up for that matter. You know, you want that mid-screen about eye level. You know, when you're sitting in your chair, check in. Do you, again, lean to one side? Are your feet tucked up underneath you? A lot of people will pop themselves forward and like rest on their toes. I really want people to feel the heels and the bottom of their feet when they sit, kind of reference point there. They should reference point kind of those bony sit bones in our butt area. And they, if they have a back on their chair, they should use it, meaning kind of rest back, use that mid back to rest back. And that should actually feel quite comfortable, fairly symmetrical. You can hold that for a while. And then every 60 minutes, get up for 10 minutes. I call it just the 60-10 rule. So say you're sitting for 60 minutes, get up on your feet for 10. Now you could break that down every 30 minutes, get up for 5, every 15 minutes, get up for 2.5 minutes, however you want to break that up, but definitely not longer than 60 minutes. Our spine's not really meant to sit for that long.
Yeah, so there you go. Dr. Storzbach is going to be in your head.
Yeah, yes.
Maybe for the rest of your life when you're sitting. Yeah, she just ruined you with driving and sitting. Yeah, it's ruined me because I can't necessarily drive or even stand or sit without thinking about how I'm distributing my weight. Mm-hmm. And it does make a difference because we are in these positions most all of our waking hours. And so we want to pay attention to how we're shifting our weight and what stresses we're putting through different joints. And it's one thing that people ask all the time is like, how does this occur? And outside of like the clear and obvious motor vehicle accidents, whiplash injuries, trauma to the head or the neck, it's these little things compounded over time that will lead to this type of restriction because you're not using the full range of motion that you have in your shoulders or your upper back or your neck. And so the implication that poor posture has, instead of saying poor posture, let's just say lack of movement throughout the full range of motion, specifically on the head, is we have that 12-pound head sitting on a very mobile part of the neck and those joints want to move. And so by repeating these sort of singular movements without having the opposite movement means that we're only exercising sort of one available motion in our body. And so the opposite motion is not used, and that's where we run into problems. Mm-hmm. And that's something that can kind of sneak up to us with years of this type of stuff. So if you don't have headaches and you're listening to this, maybe you have some sort of neck tension or maybe you're fine and you just like what we talk about. So you land on our podcast. It's good to think about your posture and how you're standing, sitting, driving in your car, have your weight evenly distributed and it will make a big difference over time. And, so any other final thoughts here, Dr. Storzbach?
No, I think we covered it. I mean, just remember that movement is medicine. Consistency is key. So just check in with yourself during the day.
Yeah, I love that. Movement is medicine. Consistency is key. All right. This is the Headache Doctor podcast, where as always, it's our mission to empower everyone with headaches and migraines to break free from a life of fear and dependence and thrive in everything you do. If you want to reach out to us and book a free virtual or in-person discovery visit, we would encourage you to do that today. You can do that whenever you want on our website, noveraheadachecenter.com, and we would love to help you in your personal situation. Thanks again for listening. Stay tuned next week for another great podcast.